Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, I'm very thankful to organizers of this meeting for inviting me here. This is my first visit to Canada. I hope not the last one. I will speak on the results that were recently achieved in my group. Two co-authors of this paper are Piotr and Agata Fionchak, my former PhD students and then now the postdocs in my group. So I will speak on some results of numerical simulations mostly. These numerical simulations consider avalanche dynamics of the Buck-Tang-Wiesenfeld sandpile model, which is one of the most popular models used by physicists from the point of view of serial automata. And I will show you how that in such a sandpile model there is a possibility of emergence of scale-free networks and how such scale-free structure affects dynamics of the system. So as this is the conference on serial automata rather, not on the conference of networks, so let me start with a very brief review on the issue of complex networks. I think that there are two important points for complex networks. First is the effect of small words, but I will not use this concept. I will rather use the concept of scale-free networks. And for physicists, the founder of this concept is Albert Bayabashi, who 8 years ago published a paper on growing networks. It means the networks go up. It means that every time step a new node with m links is added to old nodes, to the old part of the network. But in which way? In which way these nodes, these links are added? So these links are, in Bayabashi-Albert model, are added due to the mechanism of preferential attachment. It means that there's a probability that a new node will be connected to some old node I. This probability pi is proportional simply to the temporary degree of the node I. So this is the degree of a node I, means the number of the nearest neighbors of node I. And this depends on time since the number of links in the network goes up. So one assumes in this model that this probability is simply given by this function. So the richer get richer simply. If the node already possesses more nodes, possesses more links, possesses more neighbors, then it has also a larger probability to get the next node as a neighbor, as a directly connected node. And this assumption, one can show it on one page of simple, maybe on two pages of simple algebra. It leads to the probability distribution for the degrees, which is the power law with the exponent 3. Okay, and this fact started the interest of physicists on complex networks, since such networks with power law distribution of degrees are indeed observed in many domains. Okay, these are the famous transpilances that I took from Bayabashi web page. So this is the distribution of degrees for in internet, and you see a nice power law with the degree approximately 2.5. This is the degree for the network bit from scientists, when a node is a scientist, an author, and a link means that two scientists wrote at least one paper together. And okay, here this scaling law is not maybe so clear. Here we have something like two scaling regions, nevertheless something like this exists. Here is in biology the problem is that the networks are usually not so large, also the scaling is not so impressive, but you can see some power loss that can be maybe seen here. And the last, maybe not, but also important is the sex web, which was measured when the nodes are people and links are sexual relationships. And you see for both for males and for females, we have a scaling law. So for physicists, the laws where there's some critical exponents are were always very interesting, especially from the point of view of phase transitions, where in phase transitions, it is well known that in the neighborhood of the critical point, there are some scaling laws. But one can say that we have, if we have a network, just a network, we have only geometry. And in the history of science, we had to run a lot of years to understand the simplest fact from geometry. So from geometry, from the standard Euclidean geometry, it took several years, several hundreds of years, to understand, due to the Newton, that in every space we have also some interactions. So Newton introduced the concept of he was both mathematician and physicist, but he introduced that there are interactions in the space. But it took more and more years to understand that geometry, in fact, is the same as interaction. It was due to Albert Einstein and due to his concept of general relativity. So if we have a simple network, if we have a complex network, we have just a topology. If we have interactions between, like in solar automata, this is the kind of dynamics. But let us try to combine both these facts together. And this is in principle the aim of our paper. So self-organized criticality, as I said, is the concept taken from solar automata. That is very popular for physicists. The concept was introduced first time by Bach, Tank, and Wiesenfeld. And I suppose that majority of you are familiar with this concept. Probably know much more than I on self-organized criticality in solar automata. But let me just mention the assumption. So for some systems, one can observe there is the fast relaxation dynamics, and it means one observes a response to the driving force with intermittent relaxation, even kind of avalanches, instead of a continuous adjustment. And the size of such avalanches follow a power law, similarly to the critical systems and similarly to complex networks. And as this power law behavior is received without tuning and system parameter, it is called self-organized criticality rather than the criticality, simply SOC. And okay, nice examples are earthquakes, rice pies, but there are also many, many other real systems that follow such power laws, and it is anticipated that probably the systems are close to the model of self-organized criticality. The Sampai model, probably the simplest model of self-organized criticality, is the following in his simplest version. We have a square lattice. We have an internal variable for every node. This is a automata. This local height, which is defined for every cell. And we are adding a sand. We pick a random cell and we increase this internal variable z by 1. And if this internal variable of a node is over some threshold, which is usually taken as the number of nearest neighbors, so for square lattice it is 4. Then we assume that this internal variable relaxes to this ground state value, and these grains are distributed to all neighbors. Some part of the grains should be removed the border of the system if this is a real square lattice. Okay, here's a simulation. I hope it will work. Program. Oh, no, I cannot run this, maybe. Sorry. It does not run from this transpires, but I hope it will run from the another one. What's my problem with computer? Okay, so if it's completely dark, it means okay. Let us start here. We see here we added one gain here, and around this cell there was a small avalanche of the size 2. The colors here means how many grains are at each cell. If I add a grain here, there will be another avalanche, and I can add here. We see the sizes of these avalanches can be very different. I will do it automatically, and you can observe from time to time the large clusters occurring, this means larger avalanches. And here you have the distribution of these avalanches, and you can observe that the distribution of these avalanches evolves towards a power law, since we have in the log-log scale nearly a straight line. Okay, so but these are well-known facts, and I would like to combine two well-known facts. So this is not this one. And analyze it together. So SumPy model in complex networks was already analyzed, and from the point of view of critical exponents. It was known also that for regular networks, the exponents, the characteristic exponents can be analytically calculated. For one-dimensional SumPy model, this characteristic exponent of avalanche distribution equals to 1. For three-dimensional cubic lattice, it is 4 over 3. And in the mean field approximation for larger dimensions, it is 1.5. For scale-free networks, where the distribution of nearest neighbors is given by a power law with exponent gamma, like in the networks that I showed you previously, the exponent of avalanches is given by this very simple form in the range between gamma equal 2 and 3. For larger exponents, tau should be 1.5. And one can also ask, what about the thresholds which is used in complex networks, since for SumPy model, we need the threshold for the internal variable. So that for the complex networks, when every node can possess another number of nearest neighbors, it was usually assumed that this threshold is just equal to the local degree of a node. And since in complex networks, we do not have any border, so it means we need to introduce a small probability to remove some gains from the system. Okay, so now the topology up to now was fixed, but we had dynamics at topology. Now I try to combine it both together. I asked a question to the previous speaker before the lunch on the fixing of topology, and the answer was that the topology was fixed in the sense it was unchanging, it was constant in time, it was homogeneous. So here in this model, topology up to now was non-homogeneous because we have a complex network where every node could possess another number of degrees of freedom. But now I also think that topology can evolve. What does it mean? I will assume that there is a feedback between dynamics and topology, and I will try to get characteristic exponents of avalanches occurring for this system to analyze this characteristic exponent, how it evolves in time. Before I come to some details of my assumption, what were the general questions that we tried to answer? So the main question was, are these interactions self-organized? It means, do we come to any fixed point if topology can change? And if there's dynamics at topology, it can occur that we do not come to any fixed point of this coevolution. It's in this sense, we're looking for some stationary state. And as you can anticipate, as I'm presenting any results, we got the stationary state of this problem. So the interaction between topology and dynamics, the reverse interaction, means the influence of dynamics on topology is the following. We assume some ring rewire. What are rewiring rules for our system? We assume that each end of a ring has been assigned a value specifying the time when it was rewired for the last time. After an avalanche of area A, the number of A oldest ends of links are rewired to the node which had triggered the avalanche off. Why we have assumed such a rewiring rules? Because we are interested in, so it is supported by the project which is funded by European Union, and we are interested also in science evolution. And we are thinking on social dynamics from the point of view of scientists, but who possesses a lot of collaborators, but suddenly is reading a new interesting paper. And as we know, we can work very hard, but I cannot collaborate with 150 another groups. So I have some threshold to be able to collaborate. And if I would like to start a new subject, it means I have to give up some older colleagues and say, I'm not able to collaborate with you since I'm starting a new collaboration. Which collaboration? Of course, the collaboration, which is important for me because I've read some interesting paper. So every avalanche in science induces, in fact, a rewiring of our scientific collaboration. And if it's important paper published, some of us starts to change collaboration. Of course, we are doing it in a very simple way. I'm not giving up the collaboration after just reading one paper. But if one observes it for a longer time scale, this is the effect. Okay, just to illustrate it, we have a very simple fraction of a network, and let us assume that this node started an avalanche. The numbers here mean the time when the end of this link was recently rewired. So this, for example, end is relatively already established, and this also, and this is recently rewired, since the time of rewiring is 8 and this is 1. And we are assuming that the scientists were losing their old interest towards jumping to the new area of science. So if there is an avalanche of the size 2, generated by this link, then these two ends of links would be rewired, and it means this scientist starts to collaborate or tries to collaborate with this scientist. Similarly, this link, which is also very old, is also rewired. And as a result, the topology is changed. Why it is changed? Why here was an avalanche of the size 2? So we have now influence of dynamics on topology, not only the, because usually the topology influences dynamics, but we are saying the dynamics also influences topology. And these are assumptions of our model. Okay, what you can observe here is already the result of numerical simulations. So we started from a completely random topology of our network. And we observe reorganizations of this network. And what kind of reorganization? This reorganization is to the scape-free network. Why? Okay, I'm not sure if you can see the small indexes here, but at the beginning, okay, so this is the starting point, and the distribution of the degrees in the system is given by this line. It is Poissonian. Since the random network possesses the Poissonian topology. After some time, we're receiving, instead of Poissonian distribution, the scape-free distribution with some, because this is the double logarithmic scale, and we can calculate the exponent of this scape-free distribution. And here is already the dependence of the, here is shown what is the final result. The final result is the scape-free distribution of the degrees in for our topology, which is this line, and this is the distribution of avalanches for our dynamics. So both avalanches, that means dynamics, and topology, it means degrees of distribution, they run towards the scape-free function. With some characteristic exponent, as you can see, which is around 2. Okay, this is the evolution of these two exponents. You can see the exponent for the topologies, it declines from infinity, which is characteristic for the Poissonian distribution, towards 2. And this is the increase of the exponent characteristic for dynamics. It jumps from 1.5 approximately also to 2. So the main result is the following. If we have such a feedback between topology and dynamics for some pi model, then we have a system which is characterized by the scape-free distribution for degrees and scape-free distribution for avalanches, where both exponents are approximately equals to 2. And since I would like to leave you a little bit time for eventual questions, I don't want to come to some algebra why it is exactly 2, but there are some theories that justifies why it is exactly 2 and not 3. But I would need to spend at least five minutes to present this algebra. Let me summarize: the exponent equal 2 equals about 2, which is also frequently met for many real networks, should be the characteristic fixed point of dynamics of some pi model when topology and dynamics are linked. Thank you very much for your attention.